You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Jack Manuel here for another Brooklyn Buzz. And the Nets take down the Phoenix Suns 116-112. Who needs a big three when you got a big four? Mikhail, Clark, Spencer, and Cam Thomas. You don't need me. No Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, or Devin Booker. Those guys can jog on, son. But let's dive deep into it because this was back and forth and it's might have got a bit lucky on a few occasions, but this was one of the better wins of the season, to put it plainly and simply. So I'll start with sort of the early parts of the game. That's playing pretty decent basketball. They're sort of blitzing Kevin Durant, forcing the ball out of his hands, forcing a few turnovers. They're getting some fast break points, transition points, points off turnovers. Everything they wanted to do. I thought that the defensive game plan, Shaq Vaughn clearly knows Kevin Durant's game and knows how he wants to play, knows the places he likes and doesn't like, the defense and offense that he sort of likes to get into or doesn't like disrupting him. And it was that end of sort of the first period heading into the second where the Nets went on like a 16 or 19-0 run. So the Nets up 31-22 and then Phoenix, you know, get a bit of an advantage in that second period, but the Nets still have the lead at the half. And it's Phoenix in the third where they really start to get an ascendancy. The Nets get a little bit sloppy. But the fourth period is where, you know, all the guys stepped up because while some guys didn't have their most consistent games, when you look at Spencer Dinwiddie, Cam Thomas, and Mikal Bridges, those guys went 8 of 12 from the field in the last quarter. 8 of 12. That's 67% from the field. Those guys just, they might not have started the game when I think Mikal Bridges started like 3 of 14. And that's obviously not a great game. And he sort of said post-game that he was trying to make plays, trying to, like, you know, just be a bit better and execute a little bit better. But, you know, in the first half, in the first three quarters, those guys were 31% from the field. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie, Cam Thomas, Mikal Bridges, 11 of 35. But good players just know when they have that next shot mentality. Spencer Dinwiddie, I think, deserves, like, a lot of credit. It seems to me like the pendulum is turning on how people view Spencer Dinwiddie in terms of how, I don't know if it's valuable, invaluable, but he just knows, has a headiness and a basketball IQ that is very, very high. Now, there's times where he might get a little bit ball hoggy, but I think some of that is a product of the rest of the team as well. And he's sort of going, all right, well, let me try and get a shot. Let me try and shoot us out of this. But in that fourth period, he just hit the big shots, made the big plays. And Cam Thomas followed suit with him as well. Like, he scored in like three straight possessions to get to like 22 points. And he was just big, big, big time. And those guys are like invaluable. Like, the combination of having three guys that can create for themselves and create for others. Like, Spencer Dinwiddie is obviously probably maybe the best all-round playmaker in terms of for himself and others, but Cam T is growing there, and Mikal Bridges is really growing there too. I've seen that a lot with the ball in his hands. You know, his turnovers are really dropping, at least, you know, forced turnovers. You know, he didn't have a turnover tonight, you know, and that's the Nets themselves only had seven. Now, some of that was Phoenix probably not putting the ball pressure and general putting the physicality getting in your face to what other teams probably we might see against the Denver Nuggets tomorrow night and just other teams in general, but the Nets took advantage of that. And you got to give them the full amount of credit for how they were able to execute. Now, there was not a starter who was positive in the plus-minus other than Cam Johnson, but you know, you look at the guys and how they produced, and it was just a good all-round team performance. So I'm just really happy with how these guys performed. They stepped up and when it mattered. You know, Cam Johnson, you know, he was 34 minutes for him tonight, 5 of 10 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 4 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals and 2 blocks for his 15 points. A nice return heading back into Phoenix. You know, him and Mikhail seemed to me that the crowd was on their side a lot of the time. You know, Mikhail Bridges hit a couple of threes and he was doing the sort of celly where he puts those three fingers out. It's one of the iconic celebrations going around. But Cam Johnson did a lot of his damage early in the game. You know, he had, let me just look at it, 4 of 4 from the field and 2 of 2 from three in like his first 10 minutes or in the first 10 minutes of the sort of game. So his impact wasn't necessarily felt later on. And look, it seems to be a little bit of a discourse about Cam Johnson's play of late, but I think we're yet to see we probably had 2 or 3 games of his, you know, this year out of the 23 that the Nets are players where Cam's like sort of put it all together. But I think it's the nature of his role, and you know, you get that guy some play, some open looks, some ATOs, and he's gonna be effective. You know, he can't do as much with the ball in his hands as the likes of Mikhail, Spencer, Cam, even like a Trenton Watford, and Dorian Finney-Smith, I think, is growing there too, and Royce. You know, so he might be not a liability, but he's sort of like your elite spacer, maybe close out to a mid-range or close out to some straight line drives. But I still think he's a valuable player. Is he living up to the high-level contract that he's on for 4 years, $90 million, whatever it might be, with a heap of incentives? Yeah, I would say so. Like, if you're getting 15, 5, and 5 out of a guy on pretty decent efficiency, you take that. And he was pretty good defensively as well, like 2 steals and 2 blocks. Like, what more can you ask for? I think he just needs to be consistent, more consistent in his production. And I think that will elevate those 15 and 5 and 5 nights to 27 and 7. And that's where you're like, oh, okay, the numbers look a little bit better, rather than going through these different little mini bursts. And some of that might be on the coaching staff allowing to open things up for him. But also it's on Cam being aggressive, being effective, and making the right plays and being effective out there. But yeah, he led the team in stocks tonight as well. So you have to give him credit for the amount of the defensive effectiveness that he had tonight too. So yeah, it wasn't the greatest game in the world. It hasn't been the greatest stretch of basketball from Cam Johnson, but I still think he's a very good player. And I think, as we sort of saw with Mikhail Bridges at the start of the year, as we saw with Spencer Dinwiddie, these guys will find their form, they'll find their footing at different points in time. Yeah, there's been ins and outs for him, obviously starting the year with some muscle injuries, but I've got confidence that Cam J will put it all together. After the break, guys, I'll dive deep into the rest of the players, looking forward to that Denver Nuggets game, and some general team stats and the general feel and vibe of the team right now.
It's done. The goal of the year, Panarin! Part of the past, the celebrations forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History, we're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So let's get to Mikhail Bridges on his return. Brooklyn Bridges, 39 minutes, 7 of 19 from the field, 3 of 9 from 3, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. It's a number I like. I want it to be 5 plus minimum every single night. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. Didn't have any turnovers. Had his 21 points. I mean, I'm really starting to think that Mikhail Bridges is really elevating himself to a complete basketballer. And I think his defense is really improving now as well. We're starting to see some really solid stretches of the game from him there. And, you know, he has a high burden on him. Like, he's doing a lot. And I think he still needs to find, and obviously he's driving the basketball really well. You know, I said the other day, maybe a game or two ago, him and Cam Thomas were like two of the leaders in field goal percentage on drives, you know, above that 55 sort of percent range. And they're doing it a lot. So I think that that needs to be the bread and butter to his game, and sort of the extra sprinkles, the cherries, the whipped cream, whatever analogy you want to throw out there, is that sort of mid-range sort of game. Utilizing that aggressive drive, the fluid drive, the Euro steps, the Portnoy steps that have been discussed to allow the defense to collapse on him and create those spaces for him so he can hit that mid-range, because he can do that in his sleep as well. And he's starting to find the volume from three. Like, 3 of 9 isn't lighting the world on fire, but for me, the 9 attempts is something that sticks out more so than 3 of 9. He's starting to show that aggressiveness, pull-ups, and just like a really sort of quick trigger. That's what I'm really enjoying from Mikal Bridges. And it just seems to me, as an offensive player, he has those three levels to his game. You know, his best range, best facet to it might be that sort of Mikal mid-range, but he's got a really solid three-point shot. If he's open, he's going to hit it. And he's getting a bit better with those pull-ups like we saw in large portions last season. And his driving is becoming really positive too. Really poised, really controlled, really aggressive. Using his athleticism, his steps, and his ranginess and gangliness to get to the free throw line. So, yeah, another good game from Mikal Bridges. He's a leader of this team. And he's leading in a very positive fashion, might I add. Very positive fashion. Clack City. I can't believe I haven't discussed this in, like, what, 10 minutes of the pod so far. Nick Claxton hit a three, guys. Nick Claxton hit a three? Are you kidding me? And it was wet. Like, that shit was... Sorry. That was wet as hell. It was fluid? Like, it just... I heard sort of people saying, like, why is his three-point shot more fluid than his free-throw shot? I don't know. Like, we... It when I saw the shot and I saw him make it, my reaction wasn't the level of Kevin Durant's. And I think Eric Slater posted a funny video and the Suns bench sort of just looking like, wait, what? What the hell? This guy? But in saying that, we heard in the preseason and we saw in the preseason him working on that shot. We just haven't seen him take it. Now, is this an opening to Nick Claxton turning into Karl Anthony Towns? Yes, no, obviously it's unlikely to be Nick Claxton Nowitzki, but if he has those shots, take him. If he's comfortable in those spots, take him. If there isn't an open lane for him to drive, spin, and sort of use those the sort of fake handoffs or whatever else it might be, maybe just take those shots. And if he can hit them, then... Man, Nick Claxton's paycheck is going to be juicy. It's going to be very hefty. But in saying that, big fan of the shot. Big fan of his defense, which is starting to find a bit of rhythm and forcefulness. It seems to me that I think Darren Sharp has been playing tremendously of late. Now, I don't think Nick Claxton's been playing poorly, but I think the high standards that I and a lot of Nets fans and people in general have of Nick Claxton, like, he's still like one of the league leaders. Obviously, he hasn't played the requisite amount of games in terms of blocks. He only had the one tonight, but 14.7 rebounds, 33 minutes, 6 of 10 from the field, hit the three, got to the free throw line. When he gets those switches, man, like, whether it's Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, whoever it is, like, I want him to get those switches. And obviously the Nets have been playing more drop, and has that hindered Nick Claxton's effectiveness and elite nature? No, I don't necessarily think so. He's sort of saying, like, and he can recover. He can do the two-hand blocks. Like, he had some really nice blocks the other night against the Sacramento Kings. He's one of the great rim deterrents in the NBA. Like, it's like him, Rudy Gobert, and Jaren Jackson Jr. And Jaren Jackson Jr. hasn't been that great this year. Rudy Gobert has been excellent. Brook Lopez is pretty bloody good as well. But yeah, Nick Claxton was really great today too. And the three ball is probably going to get all the attention, but he's starting to find that aggressiveness and ferocity on the defensive end. That attitude, that's what we sort of love of him. And yeah, Clack City, it's booming. There's new types of accommodation now opening, apparently, in this three ball. They're luxury sort of villas, guys. So get in while it's hot. Speaking of while it's hot, killer Cam Thomas. 28 minutes for him tonight, guys. 6 of 17 from the field. 4 of 8 from 3. 8 of 8 from the free throw line. That is a number that makes me chef's kiss. 4 assists as well. He's really starting to find that rhythm there as a playmaker with the ball in his hands, making the right decisions. 2 rebounds, steal, block. Only the 2 turnovers for his 24 points. And 4 of 8 from 3, like as I alluded to. So Cam's 3 ball, starting to find rhythm. He's getting back to the free throw line. That was something that I alluded to, I don't know, it was today or the other day on Twitter, about him sort of getting to the line. Now, some of it is the refs not calling certain things, but I think more of it is on him actually trying to show that aggressiveness and find that, similar to what Mikal Bridges is doing. Like, be aggressive, get to the line, let that open everything else up. And he has great body control, strength, dexterity. Like, he's a hybrid Harden and Kyrie when it comes to getting to the line and finding ways to finish off the glass. He's a really special offensive player, and I think he's going to have his ups, he's going to have his downs, but to be able to work through them within a game speaks to the maturity of him. And Jacques Vaughn had plenty to say, positive and negative, about Cam Thomas as a starter. Some people advocating him to go to the bench in a sort of Austin Reeves sort of role. I just think that long term, it just makes sense for Cam Thomas to start. This guy is the person with Mikal and others that we want to build this franchise around. Let him play through some poor performances, work his way through it. And the fact that he worked through it tonight just speaks volumes to him as a player, as a character. Wonderful, wonderful young talent we have on our hands. And Spencer Dinwiddie, guys, was 6-11 from the field in his 35 minutes, 2-5 from 3, 2-4 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds, to include 2 of them offensive, 7 assists, 2 steals, and only the 2 turnovers for his 16 points. I said plenty about Spencer Dinwiddie already, but I can rave consistently and say the same things and still not get tired of speaking about him, because I think he just finds a way to make the right plays when the team needs it. And the team just, he is a leader as well. Some people might not like that leadership in different certain situations and different teams, but I think he's the best version of himself as a Brooklyn Net. And I think the Nets bring that out of him. I think this environment brings that out of him too. So another good game for him. Let's get to the bench. Dorian Finney-Smith, 4-9 from the field for his 25 minutes. Had the 6 boards, a steal, a couple of steals, an assist. A plus 15 in his minutes. You know, Royce was plus 19. The bench was really contributing. Outside of Darren Sharp, and with only the 8 minutes for him, but did have a couple of 3 boards and such. I'm intrigued to see, you know, Jacques Vaughn, if I can find some quotes about why Darren Sharp only played 8 minutes. He probably wasn't the right matchup for him, but and the Nets got the W, so that's the only thing that matters. But yeah, the bench in general, let's get to DFS. DFS is like just a weapon. Like, didn't hit any of his threes tonight, but was driving the ball really well. His defense continues to be masterful. Like, he's like, whether he's a Brooklyn Net long term or not, I'm just incredibly happy with what he can provide. And it seems to me like he's got a bit more wrinkles to his game in terms of his driving and his finishing. Like, we're starting to see that a little bit more. Royce O'Neal, he's 19 minutes, 3 of 5 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, 4 assists. His playmaking is just, like, primary, secondary, it's always just awesome. Like, he's really, really good. A really, really good passer. And he just hits the big shots at the right time in a similar way to sort of Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, whether it's a one dribble or 2 dribbles or pump fakes, whatever it is, Royce O'Neal just makes the right play at the right time and hits the 3 ball at the right times. It's like, I want to look at his like clutch 3-point percentage. It feels like that'd be like 70% compared to the rest of the game. But we'll get to Trenton Watford. I'll finish with him before a few other game notes. 80 minutes, 3-5 from the field. That floater is just, I mean, it's about as cash as a Stephen Curry 3. Like, it just goes in all the time. Like, he is a really talented offensive player, super comfortable with the ball in his hands, love the minutes that he provides. You know, I know Nick on his timeline was shouting his praises as well. We're both massive, massive Watford fans, and we always will be. He continues to be a really positive impact for the Nets. So let's get to a few other game notes, guys. The Nets brought back the volume from three. You know, I know that Jacques Vaughn said that, I think it was like 28 shots the other night, back to 41 and 15 of 41 from there, so nearly 37%. Got to the free throw line 24 times, the Suns 27. They were out-rebounded, but I don't think that was the biggest deal in the world, because the nature of how the Nets were playing in terms of trying to get those shots up. You know, they shot 13 more threes. They shot the same amount of points in the paint. So I think it was the points off turnovers, you know, 15-4 is something that I think the Nets were able to really gain an ascendancy in terms of, you know, they had 9 steals to 5. Like, just being a bit more aggressive and forcing, you know, obviously the Suns don't have much chemistry yet, and I spoke a bit of trash about them, and I will continue to, because we are tied to their future in terms of a few draft picks here and there. But yeah, there was just some big plays from our guys tonight at lots of different times. So shout out to Spence with his three, and Cam Thomas going big time, Spencer getting to the line, Mikhail stepping up as well. This is a big win. Whether they can take that momentum into Denver and make it another one remains to be seen. I'm not the most confident in the world, but I'm optimistic, because the Nets are, they're a good basketball team, guys. Like, if in case you didn't know, I mean, you do know, you're a smart listener of the Brooklyn Buzz, but this team is just good, man. Like, they can just find a way to win, and they're starting to click in terms of the chemistry, the cohesion defensively, offensively. That's starting to gel. So who knows? Maybe the Nets will finish 5th in the East, like Basketball Reference was alluding to. But thank you for listening, guys. Make sure you're subscribed on all podcast platforms, 5 stars wherever you can. And baby, it is a Nets world.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.